So many truths that we just sang about are going to be evident in the Word of God today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to sing songs that are straight out of the Bible. But we have a great high priest, and a great high priest who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He had the sin of the whole world placed on him, but he never sinned, and he took our penalty, and because of that, we have been justified, we are glorified in Christ, we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and what a joy to celebrate that together today. Some of you need to go ahead and let your heart tell your face that you're excited today, that you are redeemed, that you've been born again, that you have eternal life, that heaven is your eternal home, and that Jesus is your Savior now and forever. Amen. All right. That helped two of you. Listen, I know some of you are tired, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's no tired like camp tired. So I understand how your flesh may feel, but I know your spirit is willing. So we're going to try to rejoice in the Lord today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you're able. Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin chapter 8 this morning. I don't know how far we'll get. We'll see how the Lord works that out. But we're going to begin with verses 1 through 4 to start today. And here's what I want to speak to you about today, straight from the text, as we always do. The Bible says here that we need to walk after the Spirit, or we might say it today, walk according to the Spirit. Because of everything that God's shown us from chapters 1 through 7, it brings us to a place where we understand without question, because of what Christ has done in our souls, it ought to change the way we live our lives day by day. If you've been saved, you ought to live like you're saved. And so he's going to talk to us about walking according to the Spirit, and that's vital for us to understand these biblical truths that we've learned about our salvation, our justification, our salvation by grace through faith, that it ought to change the way I live day by day. When I put my feet on the floor in the morning, to the time I lay my head on my pillow at night, my life ought to be different because Jesus has changed me. Amen? Let's pray, and then we'll read together. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. I'm thankful for the time together with the saints here at Calvary, and I pray that you've already been glorified, that Christ has been magnified in what we've done. Thank you for the time of studying your word in our Sunday school classes. Thank you for the time of singing your praises and moments like this where we agree together in prayer. And God, we know that you hear us because you promised you would. And so we pray, Lord, that you would hear us. We pray that you would help us. We pray that you would forgive our sin. We pray that you would give us an understanding of your word today, that your Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us all truth. We pray you'll convict our hearts of our sin, that we would be quick to confess and repent, and that we might have our hearts and minds cleansed by the word of God and the power of the Spirit today. Lord, I pray you'll help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray that you'll bless your word greatly, that anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that they would hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on your name and be saved today. I pray for those who've been saved but never baptized after their salvation, that they would take that stand and identify with Christ through water baptism. And I pray, Lord, that anyone who's struggling will come to you. I pray that all of us would just walk by faith in your Spirit, and that you'd help us to be real disciples continuing in your word. Help us to bear much fruit for your glory, that this church would be a disciple-making church, and that you get all the praise and honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. Please bless your word now as we read it. Help us to hear from you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing. Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the first thing I'd like to ask you to take away today. We must walk according to the Spirit. We are free, and we fulfill righteousness when we walk according to the Spirit. Now, some people might take verse 1 and take issue with it, because it may sound to you at first blush that it sounds like in order to not be condemned, not only do you have to be in Christ, but you have to walk after the flesh. And can I just say plainly that after everything we've studied from Romans 1 through Romans 7, it has been made plain that we are not saved by our works. We are not justified by our works. It's not the way that we live our life that gives us justification and takes away our condemnation, but it's by faith in Christ alone that causes us to be not condemned. Is that clear to everybody? So that's not what he's saying. He is telling us that the root is the fact that we're in Christ. The fruit is that we walk according to the Spirit. And he's going to repeat that again as we get down into verse 4. But look at this. In verse 1, there is now no condemnation. This word condemnation is only used 3 times in your New Testament. It's right here in verse 1, and we studied it back in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 15, Romans 5, 15 to 18. I'm going to be moving through a lot of verses today, so you're going to have to stay awake and stay alert and be ready. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so this idea of condemnation is set against justification. By one man, Adam, sin and death came to all of us, so all of us had condemnation. But in Christ, through faith in him, and did you hear the word gift? Did you see the word grace? It's all right there. It's a gift. It's the grace of God. That's life and justification through faith in Jesus Christ. So condemnation set against justification. And here's what it means, friends. When there's no condemnation, back in our text, 8:1, when there's no condemnation, God is giving us the verdict. Here is the verdict. Not guilty. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in the courtroom before a judge. I don't know how many of you have had to stand and wait on a verdict. But I know that there is a lot of angst that comes with waiting on a verdict. The trial's been had. The jury's gone back for their deliberations. They come back into the room, and they're going to read the verdict. They're going to make a judgment whether some person is innocent or guilty. And here's the amazing thing. In our court system, sometimes people get it wrong, don't they? Sometimes an innocent person is found guilty. Sometimes a guilty person is found innocent. But in God's courtroom, here's the amazing thing. All of us are guilty. We're all guilty. But through faith in Christ, who paid the price for our sins, the verdict is not guilty. And you and I deserve the punishment of our sin, but Christ took our punishment on himself. We deserve to be bruised for our iniquities, but he was bruised in our place. We deserve chastisement and stripes, but he took that on himself. We deserve to die, but he died in our place. So God can say to those who are in Christ, not guilty. There's no condemnation, no penalty. No penalty for your sins that are past. No penalty for your sins that you commit today. No penalty for your sins in the future. You are not condemned. Could somebody just be happy this morning that you're not condemned? Some of you still look like you're bearing the weight of your sin, like you've got the guilt and shame. But listen, God took your guilt. He took your shame and he put it on Jesus. And when we, in our false humility, try to hold on to some of that guilt and hold on to some of that shame, friends, what that is an insult to the one who bore your sin. So don't carry the weight. Don't carry the guilt. Don't carry the shame. Jesus bore it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me as white as snow. We don't have to bear that guilt and shame. He took it all, so you can rejoice today. You can be glad today because there's no condemnation if you're in Christ. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I got to ask you this morning, are you in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? To be in Christ. Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Nobody can put anything on your account because God says you're justified. God says you're not condemned. Well, how did you get that way? Because you're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. How many of you are familiar with this verse? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or made near by the blood of Christ. So what are these verses teaching us? That Jesus shed his blood so that your sins could be taken away forever, so that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by your faith in Jesus, he would put you in Christ. And the moment you trusted Jesus, you were placed in Christ forever. And by your salvation, by your redemption, by being born again through faith in Christ alone, your condemnation is taken away forever. That's the root. It's in Christ. The fruit is that you would walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says it here in verse 1. He says it again in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's going to change the way we live our lives. I know a lot of you are familiar with Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Let's look at those. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How are you saved? By grace, through faith. And it's not works, because it's a gift of God. If you get a gift and you work for it, then it's not a gift, is it? Then it's a reward. If it has to be earned, then it's no longer a gift. But God's gift is Christ. God's gift is eternal life through Christ. God's gift is freely given, and it can't be earned. You're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. So none of us get to boast. But verse 10 goes on to say this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I know there's a ton of confusion, especially it seems like in our community and around our community, this idea of works for salvation. But I'm here to tell you today that you cannot work to earn your salvation. There seems to be continued confusion. A lot of people believe that they have to work to keep their salvation. And I want to tell you today that you can't be good enough to earn your salvation. Therefore, you can't be good enough to keep your salvation. And I don't know why people get off into all kinds of accusations when it comes from that. We studied it plainly in the scriptures. When Paul lays it out for us chapter after chapter that we're saved by grace through faith, you're justified by faith, he asked the question, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is God forbid. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, in no wise, no way, no how. So we understand that being saved by grace is not a license to sin. As a matter of fact, what it is a license to live in righteousness. It's the first time in your life you can live and actually do good eternally. Do good in the eyes of God because you're doing it by the power of His Spirit, by faith and for His glory. So when you have been placed in Christ through faith, then you should walk after the flesh, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he takes some time and there in Galatians 5 and explains what the lusts of the flesh are. But jump down to verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this is exactly what Paul's saying to the Romans. He's saying the same thing he says to the churches of Galatia. He says, if you have been made alive in the Spirit, then you should walk in the Spirit. Stop walking in the lust of the flesh. Stop walking according to your carnal mind. Start walking in the Spirit of God. Live from the inside out the Spirit that is in you. Now, I know that we talked a little bit about this last week when we were in Romans 7, but just understand this. God changed you when you were saved. He put a spirit in you. But we still are imprisoned. This spiritual man, the inner man, is still imprisoned by the outer man, the old man. And that's just a reality. Just a reality that we've got a warfare going on in our members. That's just the truth. But I want you to understand something. We are so carnally minded, so fleshly as Christians in America today that we don't even identify properly who we are personally. I am not my flesh. I am not my carnal mind. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound really hokey, but I'm going to say it anyway because I don't know a better way to say it. I'm going to get so much criticism for this later. I say a lot of stuff up here that you guys make fun of me for later, and sometimes I know it's coming. Most of the time I don't. Somebody, you'll tell me a better way to say this later, and I'll look forward to it. I don't even want to say it now. My true self, shut up, Ben. I know it sounds hokey and new age, but I just don't know a better way to say it. My true self, who I really am, is who I am in Christ. Amen. Who I really am is who I am in Christ. That's the part of me that's been born again. That's the Spirit of God that lives in me. That's the part of me that's been completely changed and redeemed now. And what's going to happen later is God's going to take off that old man, that flesh. He's going to get rid of it, and He's going to make it new. And the old man, the flesh, the outer man, whatever word you want to use, that's going to be changed to be how I really am. Does that make sense? That's going to be changed to be who I really am. And so we think of ourselves what we see in the mirror. We think of ourselves as our occupation. We think of ourselves as our titles that we have here on the earth. But the reality is I am who Christ says I am. That's who I am. I am what He says I am in the Word of God. I am what He's declared. That's who I really am. The one who's been born again. The one who's been changed. The one who is a new creature in Christ today. That's who I am. And if you're in Christ, that's who you are. You are in Christ. You are a new creature. And that's what we were talking about today by walking according to the Spirit. What we're saying is, I'm going to walk. I'm going to live my life according to who He's changed me to be on the inside. I'm going to walk according to that transformation that God has done. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So then we go back to our text, and He gives us this law versus law. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so you've got the law of sin and death on one side, and He sets against that the law of the Spirit of life. And where does that come from? Well, if you go back to Romans 3:27, He says this. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? The law of works? No. But by the law of faith. And so there is the law of works. The law of works is in the flesh. The law of works is your own self-righteousness. The law of works cannot save you. The law of works can only condemn you and kill you. But I'm not saved by the law of works. I'm not saved by the law of the flesh. That's sin and death. I'm saved by the law of faith. And if anybody on this planet is saved, they're saved by the law of faith. That's the only way anybody's ever been saved. And so what is that? It's the spirit of life. It's the spirit of faith. It's by faith in Christ, I have the righteousness of God placed on my account. By faith, I've been justified. By faith, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so the law of the spirit, the law of life is in Christ. And why do I need this new law? Why do I need this law of faith? Why do I need this law of spirit and life? Because verse 3, Romans 8, 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law was weak. That literally means without strength. The law could never take away sin. The law could never justify. The law could never save. And so the law was weak. The law was without strength. The law was unable to save. So God did something else. And it was the plan from the very beginning. Because Jesus isn't just the Savior who was born in Bethlehem. He isn't just the prophet, the master, the teacher, the rabbi from Nazareth. He isn't just one who died for the sins of the people at one day. He is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation literally means before the foundation. Before. It was God's plan from the very beginning. So the law was given because of transgression, because of the sins of the people. The law was given by God to kind of, I just see the law, it's almost like herding cats. Like, that's all it does. It just kind of holds Israel together a little bit. It gives them some temporary coverings for their sin for a little while. But what it really does is shows the need of a Savior. And the law was supposed to point them to Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what it ought to do for us. It's what it do for us. So the law was given because it was weak. But because it was weak, God sent his son. Notice it says, in the likeness of sinful flesh. It doesn't say that he was sinful, but it says that his flesh was like sinful flesh. What's that mean? Well, it means that God became a man. It means that he was born of a virgin in a flesh and bone and blood body. That he became one of us. But he wasn't sinful like all of us, but he was in flesh that was like our sinful flesh. But more than that, it was not just in sinful, like the likeness of sinful flesh, but it was for sin. Do you see that? Jesus Christ became a man for sin, because of sin, in order to deal with sin. And when he did, he condemned sin in the flesh. Do you guys see it? What's the big word in verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation. Do you see it? No condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? Because Jesus condemned sin in his flesh. So because he took our condemnation, he condemned sin in his flesh, and you and I can live our lives for eternity not condemned. And he did all this so that the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in us. Those of us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who don't walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. Now, I don't know if these verses are convicting to anybody here today, but I know that they're convicting to me. Because here's the truth. I know that being born again, the Spirit of God lives in me, and I live by the Spirit, therefore I should walk in the Spirit. But if we're all honest today, we could all confess this morning that none of us live that perfectly. We could confess today that if we're real honest, most of us live day by day more in the flesh than we do in the Spirit. So what do we do about that? We just look around the room and say, you know what? Most Christians are worse than I am, so I'm doing pretty good. Is that what we do? You know, I know I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as... Is that what we do? Do we compare ourselves with ourselves? Because I'm pretty sure the Bible says that's not wise. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a lineup in heaven where God's going to set us up there against the, you know, the wall with the heights, the lines on the wall. You guys know about that? Some of you have been there, you know. God's going to line us up and just set us in order and who was most righteous to least righteous. Is that how it's going to go? Friend, listen. You will kneel before the Lord on your own. Your mommy and daddy aren't going to be able to hold your hand. You're not going to be able to stand behind your pastor. You're not going to be able to stand behind your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad or your children. I am persuaded that each one of us is going to give an account for ourselves. So when you think about the fact that you look around, you say, well, most of us are walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. Don't use that to justify your lack of walking in the spirit, but let it motivate you to die to yourself and live for the one who died for you and rose again. It ought to change the way we live our lives. So what does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? What it means is I'm going to let the Spirit of God dictate how I take the steps in my life. I'm going to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God be in charge of where my feet go. I'm going to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God be in charge of what my eyes look at and what my ears hear and what my mind thinks and what my mouth says. What my hands do. You guys with me? It's the same stuff you learned when you were little bitty. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Right? Be careful, little feet, where you go. But what I didn't understand then, and I'm still trying to learn to understand now, is that I can't do that in my own strength. It has to come from the Spirit that's in me. So the flesh has to die so that the Spirit can shine out. Look at verse 5. We see we must walk according to the Spirit. Next, notice this. We must set our minds on the things of the Spirit. We must set our minds on the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We have a war in our members, our flesh, but we have a war in our mind as well. And here he sets the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the earthly mind against the spiritual mind. And he says if you are in the Spirit, then you have to mind or think on the things of the Spirit and not the flesh. Okay? That means I'm going to be thinking more about the things of God. Things that are pure, things that are just, things that are holy. I'm going to think on things that are above. I'm going to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. That means I'm going to get my mind on Jesus and keep it there and stop thinking so much about the flesh. But let's be real honest. How many of us spend the majority of our day thinking on fleshly things? Let me just give you this easy as example as I can. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Jesus say something like that? Man shall not, cannot live by bread alone. But I'm going to guess that most of us meditate more on what's for lunch than we do on the Word of God that we've heard each day. We think more about filling these bellies than we do about filling our souls with the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you today that we need to change. We need to We need to get our minds set on spiritual things. Set our minds on things of the Spirit. Verse 6 tells us that being spiritually minded is life and peace. I mean, who doesn't want life and peace? Well, be spiritually minded and you get life and peace. But spiritually minded isn't just any spirit, it's God's Spirit. This isn't just about being spiritual and meditating and trying to reach some higher plane of existence through, you know, crossing your legs and going like this and saying, Om. This isn't just any spirituality. This is the one true living Spirit of God. And we want to be spiritually minded. And it brings life and peace when our hearts and our minds are focused on Him. But when we're carnally minded, it only tends to death, because carnally mindedness brings sin. And sin always results in death. It's separation. So we want to be spiritually minded. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is not and cannot be subject to the law of God. So I don't want to operate in this carnal mind. I want to operate from the Spirit of God. Those that are in the flesh can't please God. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You have to make up your mind whether you want to please yourself or you want to please Christ. You have to make up your mind if you want to please others or if you want to please Christ. Because I want to live my life to please the one who died for me and rose again. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So this morning, we're going to stop right there, but how's your walk today? How's your thought life today? Are you thinking on spiritual things? It's pretty easy on Sundays, but it's a lot harder on Monday morning. And every day, I want to set my affections on things above. Every day, I want to think on the things of God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation, and what that is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God. I try to say the right things up here, guys. I try to say what I think God wants me to. But that means little if you're not listening to the Spirit of God in your heart. The Spirit of God works through His Word to convict us and to draw us. So if He's working in your heart today, a decision that you need to make for Christ, there may be somebody among us who's never been born again, and you know you need to trust Jesus as your Savior today. He paid the price so that you could have no condemnation. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Maybe some other things going on in your life. I don't know, but He does. So let's respond in faith and obedience to the Word of God today while we sing.